But thank you, Jim, for sharing that, for sharing most of that story. Because it's true, right? Every piece matters. A lot of you I don't know very well. But I want you to remember, God knows your story. He knows your journey. He knows your pain. He knows your hopes. And today isn't just another Sunday. I know it's just August 3rd here, hung up in the middle of summer, and sometimes summer Sundays are, you know, you get through summer to get to fall and things really get going. I understand the rhythms of church life. I pastored for a long, long time. But I know this. I know this. It's never just another Sunday. And I don't know who you are, and as I said, what your story is, but this is a divine appointment for you here today, and for me, and for all of us to be together in this place. And I just pray that you open your heart, and that you'll let God touch your heart, let God encourage you, let God set you free, let God restore you. Let God give birth to a dream again. So let's pray. Father, thank you. Thank you for this special day. Thank you for your presence here in this service already. Thank you for each one that's gathered. Thank you for, Lord, each person that is in this room today and all of those who listen to us today and in the days ahead. Lord, I thank you that you've caused it to be as it is, and here we are in your presence. And I pray by your Holy Spirit, do your holy work in this place, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. I do want to give honor to Pastor Andrew and Pam. And we remember them, and we are praying for them, and looking forward to their return, looking forward to them being back here. It's coming. And I want to encourage you to just continue to pray for Pastor, and continue to just know that God is doing a wonderful work of healing and encouraging and speaking and pouring in their lives in preparation for a beautiful season this fall. A beautiful season of ministry and harvest and outreach and blessing. And I want to encourage you to continue to pray and support, believe, and look forward. I want to thank Pastor Andrew and the board here for the privilege of being here today. I get on the road this morning at 6:30, and it's a little country road that I live on, and I just started. It was 6:30. I just started up the road, and I just began to talk to the Lord. And the first thing that came into my mind was, thank you, Lord, that I get to do this today. Some people might say, really? 3 hours to just do this? For a half an hour? Some of you don't believe I'll only be a half an hour, but we all believe in miracles, don't we? Right. So it's 10 past 11 by that clock. We'll see if God does miracles today. So grateful to be here. So grateful just for the privilege of sharing and ministering. So thank you, Pastor Andrew. Thank you to the board. Thank you, congregation, for receiving me with such love and your open heart. I thank you. We've sensed that. In a career of serving the Lord in ministry, full-time ministry, Started when I was 19 years old. I just turned 64. You can do the math. Pastored two churches. Most recently, Waypoint Church in Quispamsis, New Brunswick, for 9 years. Before that, Community Evangel Temple in Lincoln, Maine, for 22 years. As a pastor, I seem to always have an eye for the new person. It's hard for me here because I'm not quite sure who's new and who isn't. You know, I'm getting an idea of who a regular is, but I'm still not here long enough and know the congregation well enough to know if you're new. But in a congregation that I pastored, I was able to get that sense. And so if someone came in and they were new, I always had an eye for that person. If I didn't recognize you, I was after you. I was gonna go to you. If I had to, you know, I'd wait in line, but I was going to speak with you. And I remember one Sunday, again, just another Sunday, and I don't even remember what time of year it was. But this, again, just an ordinary Sunday, right? Except that it's never just another Sunday. You never know what God might do. You never know who's going to be there. You never know somebody's story. You never know who walks in. And on this random Sunday, a man came to church all by himself, sat alone. And I knew I hadn't seen him before. The service had already started, and I made a mental note that I was going to be sure and say hello to that man to introduce myself. As things would have it, the church service went on. I spoke. The service ended. And I got a bit distracted. And all of a sudden, it came back to me. And I remembered that man. And I began scanning the congregation. And looking around for him, and I couldn't see him. But the church had windows. It was not as wide as this church, but longer. And on each side, it had windows up the side. And on this side of the church was our parking lot. And so there were windows along the parking lot. And the exit from the church was in the back, off to my left. And often you would see people. You could see people in the windows as they were leaving. And I happened to look out the window, and there he was. He was in the parking lot, headed to his vehicle. And so I made a beeline to the back of the church, wound my way through the people that were still there. Out the door I go. You know, I don't run real well anymore. I didn't run well 30 years ago. But you know, even us that don't run well can still move fast, right? Don't believe, try to catch me sometime. But no, let's not do that. So across the parking lot I go. He was already in the truck. He was already going. And he had already started out, but he glanced over and he saw me. And so he stopped and I don't think he knew what to make of what was happening. He just kind of stopped his truck, and there we were. I was looking at him, he was looking at me, and a window between us. And he didn't do a thing. So I just kind of tapped on the window, and he kind of realized, yeah. And so we rolled the window down, and all I did was I said, "Hey, good morning. My name's Pastor Tim. It was great to have you today in church." I shook his hand, said, I hope you'll come again. And it was great to have you in church today. He said, "Thank you." And up went the window and off he went. And I wondered if I'd ever see him again. But sure enough, the next Sunday, he was back. Today I'm continuing the series that I began a few weeks ago. This is our fourth Sunday with you. Next week will be our last Sunday, and we'll finish this series next Sunday. But we began a series of messages around this thought: every piece is important. And on the first Sunday, and even the second Sunday, and even last Sunday to the children, we had Lego pieces, and we handed them out to everyone as just a reminder. And to hear Jim kind of tell that story, you'd be surprised. I've heard stories about Lego pieces, about holes being drilled in them, and put on keychains, and sitting on nightstands. And it's amazing what creative things people have done. It's been very meaningful, and sometimes we wonder, but it's just a reminder. It's a reminder of this truth from God's Word, that every person is important. There are no throwaways in the kingdom of God. You know, culture kind of has its caste system. Culture kind of has, you know, its way of assigning value to people. You know, and it does it on the basis of a lot of cultural things. For us, sometimes it's money, or it's prestige, or it's position, or, you know, it could be 100 things that sometimes culture. But I want you to know, in the kingdom of God, through the eyes and the heart of God, there are no throwaway people. And that every piece is important. So I want to talk with you about the importance of your piece today, and a very obvious question as it relates to pieces. And that is this: what about broken pieces? What about misfit pieces? Or damaged, or hurt, or overlooked pieces? Or pieces that feel like they don't fit. Pieces that have the opinion of themselves that they don't belong. Pieces that, no matter how hard they try, that they just never seem to be able to fit or belong. What about that? What about broken pieces? The message this morning is simply this: how important it is for your piece, your life, to be made whole. Now that's kind of a churchy phrase, to be made whole. And I understand that. But it's a phrase that Jesus used often. When you read the Gospels and you read about Jesus and you read those red letters, words that Jesus spoke, many times he would go to a person and he would say, "Do you want to be made whole?" And so we just use those same words today. Because everyone, no matter how broken, how hurt, how lost or overlooked, is important. And there is a place in God's family for every person. And furthermore, I would say this: that there is a place in this church for every person and for every piece. Listen, church is not a social club. I got one amen and one that's right. But I know a lot more of you agree. Church is not a social club. Where, you know, you have to be a certain kind of person. You have to kind of get your life fixed. If you jump through enough hoops and you make enough changes and, you know, you kind of shift your life enough to be like us, Well, then you can belong. And I just want to remind you that that is a long, long, long ways from the heart of God. Because His family is not a social club. Sometimes in churches, we have self-appointed screeners and self-appointed gatekeepers that try to influence who gets in and who doesn't. Not so much who gets in the doors, but who stays. Who finds a place, who's accepted and who's not, who's worthy and who's not, who's valuable and who not. And I just want to remind everyone in the room today, God hasn't given you any kind of authority to be a gatekeeper, to be a screener in the house of God, to kind of figure out and, you know, warmly receive some and a cold shoulder to others. That's so far from the heart of God. Would you agree? Romans chapter 8 this morning. Two verses. Verse 15 and 16 says, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves." Thank God. "Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father. For His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Therefore," I'm adding these words, "therefore we are a part of God's family." Thank God. Now, this much is true. Our past and our family influence who we are. Now, I want to be cautious this morning about any gaze backwards. You know, I think there's a phrase that's been used much, but a current singer has popularized it or brought it back and used it a lot. Some of you have heard of a guy named Jelly Roll. That's a tough name if you're trying to lose weight. I don't think I'd want my name to be Creamhorn or I don't know if that's a thing up here. Maybe that's a main thing. What's a favorite dessert up here? Very good. Who said that? We might have a prize for you this morning. Tim, my name's Tim. Timbit. It'd just be too many reminders of temptation, right? Please don't start calling, you know, my wife's watching. She's going to call me Timbit when I get home. Jesus, what's that? Yeah. Okay, enough of that. You're getting on Jim's track here. Okay, so Jelly Roll, he talks about the windshield being bigger than the rearview mirror. You heard him talk about that? I've heard him say that. And it's so true. The windshield in a car, right, is so much bigger than the rearview mirror. Why? Because there is so much ahead of us, more than what's behind us. So much potential and opportunity and life and future ahead of us. In fact, if you live your life staring in the rearview mirror, it is a certain drive to destruction. Because you cannot drive your life looking in the rearview mirror. You will inevitably end up off the road, end up in a head-on collision. Some calamity is in your future, is in my future, if I persist living life focused on the rearview mirror. And so our thoughts about the past, we are cautious. But let me just say this. Peter Scazzaro said, "Except in rare instances, our family is the most influential group affecting us today."
family. To all the married men in the room today, if you want to get in trouble, now I know you don't need help, you can do that quite easily on your own. We all seem to have a knack. We don't need any help. But in case you need help and want to get in trouble really quick, in the middle of a heated conversation with your wife, thank you. In the middle of a heated conversation with your wife, just pause and say, "You're starting to act just like your mother." Oh, wow. That got way bigger a response than I thought it would. All I can say for you, sir, is duck. Or move fast. Right? You aren't responsible to fix your family, but you have been influenced by them. And we can allow God to work in our life to bring forgiveness, healing, and wholeness. Your peace is important, and it's important that your peace is made whole. And part of that process is being honest about the fact that things under the surface never stay there. And this is sometimes where our past comes in, sometimes where our journey has a way of shaping us. Many times our family, our upbringing. You know, Mother's Day and Father's Day are days that we celebrate. We always remember that for some people, Mother's Day is not a celebration. It's a hard day to get through. And for some people, Father's Day is not a celebrated day. It's a difficult day, and they try to get through it, because we all have a story and we are shaped by that story. We all have a past. We don't seek to glorify the past, but we all have one. We all have a family. We all have a story, a journey, and it has shaped, and it is a part of who we are, and part of the process of being made whole, of our peace, our life being made whole, is being honest about the fact that things in our heart under the surface never stay there. Because out of the abundance of the heart, our mouth speaks. What's in our heart comes out. We can try to sweep things under the rug, but eventually you just run out of rug. And out it comes. The brokenness, or the hurt, or the anger, the disappointment. You see, to be made whole, to be able to bear the fruit that God wants us to in our life, to be able to experience the life of blessing and wholeness and fulfillment and purpose and meaning that God intends for us all. In order to bear new fruit, you need new roots. Breaking the power of our past requires growing new roots so that we can bear new fruit. And those new roots come through a relationship with God through Jesus Christ. John 15:5 says, "I am the vine, you're the branches. Those who remain in me and I in them will produce much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing." If we want to see something displayed in our life that is not there, we need new roots. If you are angry and you want peace, you need new roots. If you are disappointed, if you are frustrated, if you are addicted and you want to be free, then what do you need? You need new
roots. But I remind you this morning, following Jesus is much more than behavior modification. That's been the problem in some circles of Christianity for generations. What we're after is behavior modification, a focus on changed behavior instead of a changed heart, a changed life, new roots, right? And so here again, you know, if we make up enough rules, if we set up enough gatekeepers, if we have enough self-appointed screeners, you know, we feel like we can make people change. We can cause people to conform. And how many know we all have the ability to conform for a bit? Listen. You know, I'm born and raised in the United States of America. I've lived my life in Maine. For those of you that are nervous about that and are now calling into question everything I just said in the last 15 or 20 minutes. I married a Canadian 44 years ago. That ought to be worth something. I moved to Canada in 2013 and I became a citizen of Canada 2 years ago. So are we good? Okay. You guys are sharp today. Jim, you got this train rolling. I can't even remember where I was now. Something about me being an American. I know what it was. You know, in my whole bringing up, hockey wasn't a thing. Yeah. Until I moved to Canada, and I, all of a sudden I realized, hockey's a thing. You know, Toronto fans don't sit with Montreal fans, and that's probably an exaggeration, but let's not pick that scab. But new roots. I'm a hockey fan. Boston Bruins, and I know you're disappointed in that. Hey! All right. We got a few people in the room. They were just hoping where I was American from Maine, maybe I was a Boston Bruins fan. Well, you got it. We can all adapt to a certain point. But I get with people who are real hockey fans, and they start talking about hockey on a whole new level, and I just try to pretend I know what they're talking about. Because they're listing off history, they're listing off goalies from 40 years ago, they're listing off the upcoming draft, and where they are in the draft, and I'm like, wow, yeah. You know, you can fake it for a while, but you can't fake it forever. And that's where freedom comes in. It's where Jesus steps in. Jesus makes it so we don't have to fake it. Jesus makes it so that we don't have to pretend. And listen, hey, I get it. We're in church. So everybody that came in here today, I didn't see anybody weeping. I didn't see anybody carrying a physical cross, but I guarantee, and that's because just that's the way we are. We come, we put on a good face, we're here, we pull ourselves together, we take a deep breath, I can do anything for an hour. Pastor Tim's here today, so an hour and a half. I can do anything for a while. And I get it, because I've done the same thing. Done the same thing. But like I said when I started, Jesus knows your story. He knows the pain. He knows the disappointment. He knows the brokenness. And I know this Lego piece doesn't at all look broken. And none of you look broken to me. Except that I know this about the human condition. I know this about a crowd this size, that somewhere amongst all of us, there is brokenness. There is disappointment. There's anger. There's addiction. And Jesus knows all about it. You see, God's design in the new birth is for each of us to be reparented. I want you to think about that. Reparented. Wow, it's 11:39. I got 1 minute. How many will give Pastor Tim 5 more minutes? All those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Those opposed? Motion's carried. 5 minutes. Romans 8:15, now we call him Abba Father, for his spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children. Abba Father was an exclusive description for adopted children and only used towards their father. The new birth brings with it a new family. Isn't that beautiful? And that's what we are. Adopted into the family. We know that Israel, the nation of Israel, the Jewish people, are God's chosen people. Amen? God help us to support, pray for, stand always. Not necessarily for everything they do, because God knows nations are flawed just like people. But we are supportive, we pray for. Amen. So where do we fit in? We fit in as being adopted into the family. And in that new family, God's family, we learn new family values. And so I don't know what your story and your family and your history and what's underneath the surface and what painful story you have. But I want you to remember the windshield's bigger than the rearview mirror. And somebody needs to quit living life staring in their past, staring with the past right here, always rehearsing, always going back to it. I understand. It's a part of, I understand that. But in Christ, in Jesus, in the new birth, you are reparented. You have a brand new family. Thereby, because of God's Spirit at work in our lives, we now call Him Abba Father. We are adopted. We are brought in. We are made part of a brand new family. And in that new family, we learn values, compassion, authenticity, redemption. We are all in process. And we believe anyone can change. Anyone can be made whole. Every broken, damaged, hurt piece absolutely belongs. Amen? Let me say that again. We believe that anyone can change. Pastor, you don't know how many times I've tried. Listen. I don't care. And I don't really think God cares either. Because I know this. I've journeyed with people who tried 100 times. But they tried again. They turned to God again. They opened their heart one more time. They said, Jesus, help me one more time. And something happened. something changed by the power of God. We believe that every broken, damaged, hurt piece absolutely belongs. Amen? Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. Worship team, would you come? Play softly. Please, when you come. You remember that man I chased across the parking lot? His name was Jerry. Jerry was a divorced single dad. Lonely. Hurting. And desperately wanting to find God. And Jerry figured to find God, you go to church. Jerry told me the story months later. How he had been to many churches in our area. It wasn't a very populated area, but you know, within a 25-mile radius of our little town of Lincoln, Maine, there was, you know, a couple dozen churches. He'd been to probably not all of them. He'd been to a number of churches in the previous Sundays, and everywhere he went, he said, "I walked in there. I walked in, I sat down, they sang songs, a sermon was preached, I got up, I walked out, and nobody ever bothered with me. I went into church after church after church." He said, "Nobody shook my hand. Nobody acknowledged him." He began to have this feeling that God didn't want him either. Because that's what it felt like when he went to church. That nobody wanted him. Nobody cared. Nobody acknowledged him. You know, he was single. You know, he was an older single man. He wasn't all put together. I don't know this, but he might have went unshaven. And all glory to God. I just thank God every day that I think of it. That when he came to church that Sunday, I saw him. And that I wouldn't let him leave. But I chased him across the parking lot. And all glory to God, it wasn't me, but it was a message. I had no way of knowing his story. I had no way of knowing his journey. I had no way of knowing that this was just about the end of his road of trying to find God. Because he had been trying to find God. He had been to churches. He had been around churchy people. God save us from churchy people and give us people with the heart of God. The heart of God. The heart of God. And Jerry gave his heart to Christ. Jerry never left. Jerry was there when I left Lincoln back in 2013. And Jerry's still there today. Jerry came to serve on our board, became a deacon, an elder in our church, a faithful man. Led his ex-wife and family to Jesus. That's what God can do. They never reconciled their marriage, but they reconciled the animosity. And that all melted away because new roots produce new fruit. And some of you here today need a change. You need a change. I just want to tell you, you can't produce it yourself. How many have ever seen plastic fruit? Just Please don't try to eat it. Plastic fruit. No, in Jesus, new roots can produce what you hope for, what you sometimes feel is impossible, what you sometimes think has passed you by. I'm X number of years old. I've tried 100 times. I've made resolutions. And I tell you today that He's the God of a second chance and a third chance and a fourth chance and a fifth chance. And if you try again, if you turn your heart one more time, I believe that the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob is here today, and He can touch your heart. He can make it new. He can do the impossible. Amen. Would you bow your head, please? Let's bow our heads together. Father, how grateful we are that You make us whole. That, Lord, You take the brokenness. You take the emptiness, the anger, the addiction, the frustration, the disappointment, the discouragement, the loneliness, the fear, whatever it is that debilitates us, whatever it is that's like an anchor around our leg, whatever it is that's like chains around us that lock us in and keep us from being free and being who we were made to be. That keeps dragging us into our past. Lord, I pray that someone in this room today will take a step towards You one more time. That You'll give someone in the room today the courage to admit some brokenness, to admit a need, to admit, I need help. I need God's strength. I need to turn to Him brand new today. Father, I pray that You give courage in this room today, and that, Lord, that by Your miraculous Spirit and power, that You would do Your holy work in this room in Jesus' name. Your heads are bowed. Please, just for a moment, I just want to ask you, what's the Holy Spirit saying to you today? Listen, I believe God is talking to some of you today. Remember, this is a divine appointment. You're here. I believe you're here. And I'm here at this moment on this Sunday, August 3rd, 2025. Things have come together because God caused it to be. You're here, I'm here, and God is saying to you, take a step towards Me. Open your heart to Me. Give Me a chance. Make some room in your life. Just give Me a chance. Just open your heart again. If you're here today and the Holy Spirit's speaking to you, this is what I'm going to do this morning. This is what I have in my heart. In just a few moments, not right now, but in just a moment, I'm going to ask everyone in this building that says, Pastor Tim, I believe God's talking to me. There's some brokenness. There's a need. There's some hurt. There's a past. There's some anger. There's some discouragement. There's something. I need God's